Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWineMaker.com.
Dunkle.biz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Wow.
Oh.
Very good.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Can you hear me okay on this? Yeah. Okay, good. I have an issue this evening. That's why we're a little bit late. I connect through Skype, and Skype, I always check out in the middle of the afternoon. On Thursday's my day off, and so I connected today about 3:30, and I connected, and it usually goes on there and says, you have 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever before your program. Please call back within 15 minutes. Well, today it didn't do that. Today when I called, it said, the Skype line is full. Please try another line. And so I just hung up, figuring, you know, middle of the afternoon, it wouldn't be an issue. Then when I just tried to get back in now at 6:45 Eastern time on May the 9th, on June the 9th, May, June the 9th,
wow.
Then it wouldn't let me in again. So I tried the second line. And it still said it was full. I tried the third line, and it said it was full. And I tried to call in on the host call-in line, and it wouldn't let me through. So Mike finally got in on the host call-in line, and that's why we're here tonight. So thanks, Mike.
Interesting. Yeah, it's strange that I don't know what's going on, but you know, we'll have to, if this is a recurring thing, well, I'll put in a ticket for them to check it, take a look at it, but.
Yeah.
Unless it's happening every week, I don't know, but it seems like it was, maybe they had a glitch or something, I don't know.
But it was,
but
it was, I don't know, I mean, full, the line is full, I mean, it's Blog Talk
yeah.
Radio, for heaven's sake, how can the line be full?
No. Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Everybody's from everywhere is calling tonight or today for some reason, but, yeah, but I'm on my landline tonight, I am. Actually, the switchboard shows me as show host, but then it shows you as the host. So,
right.
Yeah.
I typed it. All right. You're on. If you'd like to get on the program and see if it works.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was just going to give the number out. If they want to check it out and see if it works, the guest line is 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235. Lines, as far as we know it, are open.
As far as we know, are open. Yeah. So give us a call. Any questions, anything like, or if you just want to say, hey, Ron and Mike, it's working. So, either way, we know. if we see your little number pop up here, then we know you got through that far. So, but before we go any further, though, we all have to join in a round of happy birthday to Mike. It's your birthday.
No. June 9th? I mean, I don't think so. Well, let me check Facebook, see if it shows my birthday on there. I don't think it shows my birthday on there. No, it's not until you must be thinking of somebody else. It's on October.
I went to Skype to try to IM you, and it said, today is Mike's birthday.
Not me. Really?
Not you. It did. Oh, it did. It said it was your birthday.
Wow, I'm going to check that out. Go log in there and see what happens. I don't think that's – wow. How did I just do that? No, it's not – I mean, thank you, but it's – that's strange.
Oh, well. Boy, the Skype is really messed up then. All right. Well, so never mind.
That's pretty cool. I have to go check that out. Let's see what it says.
Yeah. Said it was your birthday. Oh, well. We got a few things to talk about tonight. Just a few. I was going to do real estate, but I want to go through the real estate first so I don't duplicate and talk about stuff. So we'll do real estate next week. And I also need to get an up-to-date listing here, too. It was a good guest last week. She was fun.
I listened to it. I listened to it before. I was like, oh, yeah, that sounded pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of good stuff on there. Yeah.
Yeah. She just, I had somebody call me the other day. I was looking for some supplies, and somebody called me, a barrel company called me, a guy that sells barrels. And I said, by the way, I said, I'm looking for someone to be on the program. And he says, oh, I would love to. He says, I've had a winery, and I've done this, and I've done that. And he said, and I've opened up 3 or 4 wineries. And, I mean, the man sounds very interesting. I keep on moving my head around looking at stuff, and I realize I'm not moving the phone with me, and I don't have the microphone on my head that goes with me. So you might hear me fade in and out every once in a while here, but he says, oh, yeah, he said, I'd love to be on your program. I said, well, email me. I said, I gave him my email address. I said, we'll get you scheduled. And I haven't heard from him ever since, this was Monday. Monday he called, and I haven't heard from him. I haven't seen an email from him yet. So I hope he does get a hold of me. It sounds like he would be an interesting guest. And I also told him I was interested in some product he had, so if nothing else, he'll probably get a hold of me to sell me product, but then I'll grab him again and see if I can't get him on. But he's opened wineries, and he has consulted, and he now works for a barrel company and all sorts of things now. So sounds like he might be a lot of fun. So I don't know. Well, we'll see. But what was it? A month ago, I think, something like that, I talked about AVAs. And I had a program on ABAs and telling about them and filling in and all that. And, by the way, before I forget it, my wife, the engineer, was coming home from work, coming home from the winery today. Like I said earlier, I'm off on Thursdays. And she got about 10 miles from the winery, and the road was blocked. And it's not like it's a single-lane road or anything. It's a big 6-lane road right there, and the road was blocked. And she calls me, and she says, where do I go from here? Because the winery is out in the middle of almost nowhere. And I told her how to circumvent it. And she said, I think there's an accident. There's a helicopter coming out. It must have been something bad. I turned on the local news, and there was a man running around in the woods with a gun and there was a manhunt going on. The helicopter wasn't a ambulance helicopter. It was sheriff's helicopter looking for this person that was running around there. And so they closed off all the roads and everything and wouldn't let people by. And they, the local news had a helicopter up there, was showing the streets blocked off and all that. So it took her, a normal trip is about 35, 40 minutes to come home from work. It took her 2 hours and 45 minutes this evening.
Wow.
Heavy traffic and everybody was cutting around. They were blocking it and all that other stuff because of this guy out on the loose with a gun. They said he was a white supremacist and they had to watch and all that stuff. So, a little bit of excitement for her coming home, which the excitement was she says she's never going to drive again. Yeah, until the next time she needs something. But I've had long routes coming home and bypasses, but never that long. She thought it was an accident at first, so she wanted to wait it out a little bit. But then when I saw in the news that it was a bad guy, it changed the whole complexion of her commute. So I wanted to share that. But, 2 hour and 45-minute commute home tonight for her. So, yep.
Wow.
But let me get back. We talked about AVAs 2 or 3 weeks ago, a month ago. And I found this article. This is from The Grapevine. Now, The Grapevine is a magazine I get. It says The Grapevine, the best viticulture informational source. It's very good. They don't just – it's just little articles, not a very big book. They're a very big magazine, little articles. And quick read, California all the way, New York, Iowa, everywhere, and ads and stuff. But they had an article by Lindsay A. Zahn, Esquire. Well, I guess maybe a lawyer. But Lindsay Zahn wrote an article, The Truth Behind American Viticultural Areas. And very well. It gives some information in here that I did not cover. Here we go. Yes. Lindsay Zahn is an alcohol beverage and food attorney at Learman Beverage Law, PLLC. Ms. Zahn has previously counseled wine, beer, and spirits companies on licensing and compliance and on and on. And she's an award-winning author of Wine Law, publishes a leading wine law blog, and all sorts of good stuff. I might, she would be nice to get on the show. I might have to see if I can't contact her. And then they have a little ad down here at the bottom of the article, so I got her email address. That's a good idea. I might contact her. But she wrote this article here on American viticulture areas, and I'll paraphrase a little bit of it, but basically it's rather concise, and so because of that, I think I'm going to do a lot of reading on this, which normally I don't read. I usually paraphrase and try to shorten and stuff, but this one is a good article. It says, what are American viticulture areas, AVAs? Are they appellations? AVAs are types of appellations, but not all appellations are AVAs. For example, California and Texas and Napa County and Sonoma County are considered to be appellations of origin with respect to wine labeling, but they are not AVAs. Both appellations and AVAs provide a significant amount of information about a wine. When used on a label, the wine tells a consumer that, at a minimum, the majority of the grapes used in that wine were grown in the labeled appellation or AVA. However, appellations and AVAs have some differences. Appellations are generally defined by political boundaries, such as by the name of the state, county, or country, whereas AVAs are defined by geographic boundaries that are very carefully defined. NAVAs are formed through a federal process overseen by the TTB, tax trade and tobacco. History of AVAs. I covered this a little bit the other when I talked about it. Let's go through this again. AVA system developed with the idea that place, which including geography, soil, weather, and other environmental factors, can influence grapes as well as the wine's characteristics. And this is basically the French term terroir, which in the French word terre, T-E-R-R-E, literally means land, which is the understanding of the environmental factors can distinguish one wine from another. Terroir is something very serious in France, and we've talked about that. That's, in fact, so serious that the United States doesn't even have a word that equates to terroir. It's just that is the significance of the areas and all that. The AOC, Appellation d'Origine Contrôlée, or the AOC in France, is grants geographic significance to wines based on their qualifications of an area. And such qualifications can mostly include the location in which the wine grapes were grown, but also can include the types of grapes used, the harvesting techniques, production methods, whether the wine was produced and bottled within the appellation, and even more. So that is AOC. The AVA system is different than the AOC in the fact that it's not as strict. And, it doesn't mandate the types of grapes or the process that they must be carried out for the winery within that AVA to be labeled that. I mean, in France, certain AOCs, you grow a Pinot Noir grape, and that's it, and it's processed this way. And Italy, the same way. The Chianti Classico is very strongly regulated and with grapes and how long they have to age and all that stuff. The one exception, the one exception is that federal, state, and or local laws may mandate that a winery use a certain percentage of grapes grown in the AVA in order to boost that AVA boast that AVA on the wine's label. So that would be the only thing. But, most of the time they say you have to have so much grapes in that area to be called an AVA. Napa Valley is probably the most recognized AVA. It was formed in 1981 and was America's second AVA. The first actually was in Missouri. The first AVA ever awarded was in Missouri. Though Napa was the first to be recognized in California. Napa Valley is located within Napa County, California. Today, Napa Valley houses 16 sub-AVAs. These are all located within the Napa Valley AVA. For example, there's Calistoga, Colmesville, Oakville, Rutherford, St. Helena, Stag's Leap District, and that's just some of them. I just said there are 16 of them. AVAs range significantly in size, and some AVAs cover multiple counties, while other AVAs cover multiple states. And again, I talked about that a month ago. Some AVAs have other AVAs within them, and these are generally referred to as sub-AVAs, which if you have a sub-AVA, you usually use that AVA as your labeling, as opposed to if you, say, for example, are in the Rutherford, you would not use your Napa Valley AVA. You would use the Rutherford AVA on your label. Boundaries will depend a lot on subclimates that are typical of the AVA, as well as geography, which helps break up and define boundaries of AVA. As of March 30th, and there was a misprint in this article. It said as of March 30th, 2106, 2016, I'm sure what they were meaning. The TTB reports that 234 AVAs exist in the United States. with the greatest number, 138, located in California. Now, if you want to follow this more, see Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, the TTB.gov, and go to Appalachian and then U.S. by AVA, and it'll give you a full list of the AVAs and break them down and all sorts of stuff for you. But that's the TTB.gov and then Appalachian U.S. by AVA. How are AVAs formed? Now, this is something I didn't get into too much in the show a month ago. AVAs are formed by submitting a petition to the TTB, according to 27 CFR subsection 9.11. Anyone can submit a petition to the TTB to establish a new AVA. But petitions are most commonly formed and filed by an interested industry member, such as a vineyard, winery, local ventures association, trade groups, etc. So in reality, if someone comes out to the winery and says, ooh, Florida State's winery needs to be an AVA, they can submit a petition. But petitions can also be submitted to change the boundary of an AVA or change the name of an AVA. The submission of a petition is supposed to provide TTB with sufficient information to support the establishment of a new AVA or changing of the names or any of that stuff. You know, one thing with me not being a guest, there's different, or with me just being a guest, there's certain things here that I don't see on the studio. I just glanced up and tried to notice stuff, and it wasn't there.
Should be the same screen.
The streaming is going, but the streaming is very, the on-air stream, how much I got left, is very scattered. It'll stop, and then it'll jump up in numbers and stuff like that. And then when you did the intro, I didn't see anything on the intro. I didn't see how much time or anything on that. So, yeah, it's just odd. Maybe nobody can hear us either because nobody's tried to call in, but nobody ever tried to call in. So, AVA petitions for the establishment of a new AVA must include the following information. And this is a requirement for any AVA. One, name evidence. Such as a name you see, source of the name, or source name evidence. You can't just make up one. It's got to be one that is used in that area. Two, boundary evidence. You must explain in detail the basis for defining the boundaries of the proposed AVA. So this is, you know, I want to set up an AVA for a certain area. You have to explain what those boundaries are and what it encompasses and all that. Distinguishing features such as climate, geography, soils, physical features, and elevation. And let me editorialize again here because I'm, you know, become so opinionated on this stuff. Distinguishing features. Now, the biggest AVA in the country is the Mississippi Valley AVA, and that goes from Minnesota all the way down the Mississippi River. How can that, and I always question this, how can that be unique for climate, geography, soils, physical features, and elevation? That AVA always just fascinates me. I've got my big book here. Let me look up AVAs and have it available in front of me while I am doing this, because that is one of them that always, I'm always saying, how can this be an AVA? How can that? So, but that is another one of the features is the, let's see, is that, no, that's competition. I think this is my tab for AVAs. No, this is not either. Oh, well. But some of the AVAs are enormous, and to say that they're unique in this because of this here is always just, I don't know how that can be. Here, I found it. The, if I can turn the page here. The biggest AVA is the Mississippi River AVA. And let me see. Here it is. No, that's not it. Mm-hmm. Well, for example, here is the Outer Coastal Plain in New Jersey. Consists of 2,250,000 acres. The Ozark Mountain AVA in Missouri, 3,520,000 acres. When you get AVAs that big, how can those be unique? Central Coast of California AVA, 5,463,269,000 acres. I don't understand. I guess I need to get a hold of somebody at TTB and have them actually tell me how that is unique. But then number four, maps and boundary descriptions. On an appropriate scale, the USGS map showing the locations of the proposed AVA. Boy, I bet people had a hard time doing the Mississippi Valley AVA, didn't they? Once the petition is received by the TTB, an appropriate TTB officer will perform an initial review of the petition to determine whether or not the petition is perfected. If the petition is not perfected, the officer will return it to the petitioner without prejudice for resubmission in perfected form. If the petition is perfected, TTB will decide whether or not to proceed with the rulemaking. If the TTB does decide with rulemaking, the agency will advise the petitioner of the date of the rulemaking. If TTB does not proceed with rulemaking, the agency will provide the petitioner with an explanation. So there. So you submit for an AVA, and the TTB then says, yeah, this is cool. We'll do this. We're going to vote on this on January the 5th, 2017. You've got to be there. Or, sorry, this is crazy. Florida doesn't grow any good grapes. You can't submit one for Florida State Winery. If TTB determines that rulemaking is appropriate, TTB prepares and publishes a notice of proposed rulemaking in the Federal Register to solicit public comments on the proposed AVA. They also send out emails, too. I've gotten emails. I must be on the list. I've gotten emails saying that they're proposing an AVA for such and such an area with such and such a name and all this stuff on it. And if I have any comments or anything at all about that. And, most of the time I don't, and so it makes no difference to me. And I've seen them pop up and all that. Or I've seen them say comment period is for the next X number of weeks or days or months or whatever it is. And they go on that. But let's get back. The notice and comment process is typical of TTB and other government agencies and is used by the agency in many instances in order to obtain industry comments on issues that impact the industry at large. And again, I also get emails with things within the industry on that. After the comment period closes, TTB reviews the comments received and any other relevant information. Next, the TTB does the following steps, following action. One, it prepares a final rule for publication in the Federal Register establishing the proposed AVA. Two, prepares a notice for publication in the Federal Register that withdraws the proposal and provides explanations, one of which must be the following. One, the extent of viticulture within the proposed AVA is not sufficient to constitute a grape growing region. Two, the name, boundary, or distinguishing features evidence is not sufficient. Or three, the proposed AVA would be inconsistent with the Federal Alcohol Administration Act, another federal statute or regulation, or contrary to public interest. Wow, that's really quite encompassing. I was reading through this article and I'm going, gee, they can pretty well stop it for anything if they really want to. So, but these are the, excuse me, if they refuse the proposal, they have to give an explanation. Those are the three. Either it's not sufficient to constitute a great growing region, the boundaries are not sufficient, or any other thing they might want to say, basically. Three, they prepare a new notice of proposed rulemaking for publication in the Federal Register that describes a modified proposed AVA for public comment or pursues another option as allowed by law. Those are the following actions that the TTB takes. Now, while forming an AVA is subject to many regulations, the importance of a place or name on a wine label can be significant. The use of an AVA can help a consumer connect more with wine and develop a strong identification of place. While the AVA system developed based off of the European appellation system, there's many differences that are unique to the American wine industry and the growing and winemaking process of American vintners and winemakers. Nonetheless, the AVA system maintains a similar goal to protect and promote place names and origins and demand truth in labeling. So, like I said, I thought that was a very, very interesting article talking about AVA and the process that it goes through. Again, so many people are not familiar with AVAs. It just, it's an unbelievable number of people. I ask people all the time. I'll be doing a tasting in the winery, and I'll say, oh, by the way, how many of you have heard of an AVA? And, you know, I'd be lucky if I get 20% of the people hold up their hands. It just, people have never heard of this. They've never heard of an AVA. They don't know what it is. They, you know, people guess and stuff like that. And it's always fun to hear the guesses because, you know, not only are they somewhat silly, but they're, you know, just all sorts of different things on it. So, AVAs, you know, they put all this effort and everything into it, but I don't think it's something that the American people are that aware of. And don't get me wrong, they really should be, and it should be promoted more. We should definitely educate people on AVAs and the purpose of them and why they're there and what they do and all. But people don't. People don't know what they are, and people don't have much much information about them. So that's some more stuff on AVAs, how it's formed and what it takes and all that. So enough of that, enough of AVAs for this time until I find something else. I'm going to see if I can't get a hold of that lawyer. She'd be willing to come on the program. She seems quite knowledgeable. A few other things I want to talk about here besides AVAs. Again, just some information. Box wines. Box wines are really, really starting to do a lot of business. And whether you agree or disagree with that, it's good or bad or whatever, box wines are basically the same wines that you get all the time in the bottles that most people buy. The average price for a bottle of wine is that people buy is between $7 and $15. That's about what everybody buys. That's right there on the shelf, and that's what people grab, and that's the ones that people know. Box wines are basically the same stuff, only just a little bit cheaper because you're getting in quantity. You're getting three or four bottles for the price as opposed to just one. And so box wines are really starting to explode on the market. It's amazing. They're talking about taking it in a higher end. Black Box, for example, and Bota. I don't know. I'm sorry. Bota? Is it not Bota?
I don't know.
No, I don't either. I've always said Bota, but then we look at it, it's like robot, Bota. They pretty much dominate the premium side of box wines. Black Box is owned by Constellation Brands, which grew by 11% last year, and the Border Box is owned by Delicato Family Vineyards, and that surged by 27% last year. So they're exploding in the market. Gallo is launching a new box brand. It has launched a new box brand, the Naked Grape, in 2014. And then they followed with VinVault, and they're starting to sell those. Those things are starting to jump up a lot, too. But the box market is becoming more and more competitive and becoming higher end in different wines, too. It's not just a little cheap wine. It's something that you can actually hide in the refrigerator and tell people it's a better wine, because people still have this prejudice against the box wines. But I've had some box wines that were the same as a lot of bottles that I buy. And the way it's set up with that bladder inside, the bladder collapses around it, so you're not good. I tell people all the time, I mean, if you live by yourself, or if there's just, you know, the two people in the family that are drinking or something, or one, get box wines. They'll last a lot longer. They're not going to spoil on you. Like a lot of people say, well, once I open a bottle of wine, I got to finish it. No, you don't. You can, you know, drink it within a week. But box wines, you have that luxury of being able to extend it a little bit. So box wines are, you go to the store, in fact, Total Wines. I don't know if Total Wines national or not. I know they're East Coast, but you go to Total Wines, and they're having quite a large section of box wines. Who knows? It's going to start becoming more and more. Wine growlers. We've heard about the beer growlers and how you can do that. It's wine growlers. Wine growlers are starting to happen in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to make it legal to grab wine in a growler in New York State. He just said it was reformed the 80-year-old alcohol beverage control law, which he referred to as archaic rules. And the growlers, his new bill would allow restaurants and bars to obtain a permit to begin Sunday alcohol sales at 8 a.m. and also would have the power to allow full liquor license within 200 feet of schools and places of worship, which right now it does not in New York. Now, also looking at using reusable growlers, 32 and 64 inch growlers for beer, or for wine, not just beer. So he's appointing a committee to look into it and see what they can find out, and trying to get some research on it, and possibly trying to change some of the old laws that are in New York. Why did this pop up here? No, I don't want this. Okay, there you go. So, more power to him. I think that's great. Let's see. This is the raisin market. The raisin market in California is still harvested by hand, mostly by hand. And then the lamb and gravy buildings. Remember, if you've been out to California, you've driven down I-5, down to the center of the state, you'll see these great big buildings next to some vineyards and around all that. Great big tall buildings, look like football fields on the southern side. Those are raisin drying buildings. You know, and you go, what? You know, why can't you just dry raisins on a little, you know, 6 foot tall building? But they have these great big enormous buildings, and they lay all the raisins out and they dry them in there. I don't know. I guess there's something with humidity in there and all that other stuff, but it always fascinates me to see those big buildings used as raisin drying buildings. Let's see. I can't find it. Ohio, I know this is all about wine, but Ohio is looking at stopping the limit on beer alcohol by volume. If they do that, then more craft beers and stuff like that that start coming in at 14, 15, 16% would have a chance to be sold there. Now, I'm not sure what the limit is in Ohio, but now they're the limit is rather low for some of the beer, especially the craft beers that they're doing. So that's a new thing happening in Ohio there. Let's see, counterfeit alcohol, no. Vaccine, is this anyone expo merchant wine? Japanese, South African exports, China. Here we go again. South African wine exports to China jumped by 30% in the first quarter of this year. 30% jump. That's in South Africa. The United States and France and everybody else is sending a lot of stuff to China. They just can't seem to keep up with the consumption of wine over there. It's just millennials and younger groups in China are not, have money, and because they have money, they are buying wine from all over, and it's really starting to show. They're buying lots of wine. So, Moet Hennessy is also doing some. Champagnes in China are sparkling wines. So, hailstorms went through France, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, not quite that long. Let's see, no, about a week and a half ago, a bunch of hailstorms went through France and did some major damage to some of the crops and some of the grapevines. They really weren't out yet completely, which was good. But still, though, there's severe weather, including hailstorms, back on the weekend of May the 30th. The Cognac area, where 8% of the vineyards was damaged or destroyed. Other areas that were hit were the Chablis region and the Beaujolais region. It just hit a lot of vineyards all around France. The Cognac producers say that 12,400 to 14,800 acres, amounting to 68% of the vineyard, was damaged by hailstorms and heavy rains. There are some places that 100% were destroyed. 1.5 inches of rain, nearly 5.9 inches of hail fell in 15 minutes in some of the affected areas, and it some hailstorms were the size of quail eggs. Now, how many of us know what a quail egg looks like? Smaller than a chicken egg, let's put it that way. The Chablis is difficult because it's the third blow this year after the frost in April and hailstorms on April the 13th, and now on the weekend of May the 30th, they have another hailstorm. So the Chablis region is really getting pounded there. And the Burgundy region also has had some damage. So I have to keep an eye on that. They're saying that it's early in the season. It's not going to affect the grapes and the quality, but it will, the quantity of grapes will be affected by the end of the year. So, that is hail damage on there. You hear about some bad weather hitting over there quite a bit. Let's see. Nope, none of that. And here we go. Moderate wine consumption may help Alzheimer's disease patients. Yay! Considering I'm getting old, this is something I really need to keep an eye on. Moderate, always moderation. They always say that. But recent studies have shown that moderate wine consumption can reduce the risk of developing dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Now, new research from the University of Copenhagen's Department of Public Health suggests moderate alcohol consumption can help patients already suffering from mild forms of Alzheimer's, reducing the mortality rate significantly. Patients were divided into four groups, and those that abstain from alcohol, and those who drink one drink or less per day, and those who drink 2 to 3 drinks per day, and then those who drink more. Wow. Participants who consumed 2 to 3 drinks per day showed a significantly lower mortality rate over the 36 months than those who were in any other category. So there you go. If you have someone in the family who has dementia or Alzheimer's, introduce them to wine. It may help in lots of ways. So the researchers analyzed the data of 50,000 men and women and tracked diet and drinking habits from 1993 to 2003. And they found that it has helped in many areas except a slight increased breast cancer risk in women. So who knows? If it's always one thing, it's another, then next month they'll come out and they'll say something else. But right now, Alzheimer's and dementia patients should be having a little bit of wine every day to help longevity and everything else. The Snake River AVA, we just talked about AVAs. There's a couple of things about AVAs to pass on to you. The Snake River AVA is not popping up here, and it should be up. Okay, come on, Snake River AVA. The area there we go. Okay. The Snake River AVA is encompassing lots of vineyards up there. Snake River Valley predominantly exists in Idaho, but the Cook family and others have shown the Oregon side is growing there, so it's improving over in that area also. The Snake River AVA, I closed my book on that. I was going to look into it. But it's Snake River Valley, Idaho, has 3 Horse Ranch vineyards, Bittner Vineyards, Fender Winery, Coiled Wines, Feather Winds Wines, Fujishin Family Cellars, Hat Ranch Winery, Vail Wine Company, Hells Canyon Winery, and Jojo Huston Vineyards, Indian Creek Winery, Koenig Vineyards, Malvance Winery, Parma Ridge Wine and Spirits, wow, Peripal Wines, Sawtooth Estates Winery, Snake River Winery, Split Rail Winery, St. Chapelle Winery, Sharinga Winery, Talaya Wine Company, Viscoya Winery, Williamson Orchards and Vineyards. Jeez. And there are more even that are not with all the just phone number stuff. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more. All in the Snake River AVA. Yeah, okay. So the Snake River is a big area. And the lakes and stuff on that. But it's expanding. The AVA is expanding to the Oregon side And we just read how that works, too. You have to petition and all that to do it on the Oregon side. There's another AVA tasting that is coming up in a couple weeks. This is in Oregon, the Yamel Carlton event. It will be held at the end of this month, actually. It's a fundraiser, but it will be featuring Yamhill Carlton Wineries. And so, to get information, Yamhill Carlton, YAMHILLCARLTON, YamhillCarlton.org. So, but that's coming up. That's the AVA tasting of Yamhill Carlton, the spring tasting. So, some news on AVAs there. Let's see. Do I know? That's not interesting. Let me see what this is. North Coast technology trends. And we've talked about TCA-free corks. What? Orange wine? The new white orange wine? I make an orange wine. Let me see what this says about this here. And we'll... Solvanian winemaker Alex Kinnick's estate is certified biodynamic and uses indigenous varieties of grapes, Rubella, Malvasia, Frulena, and Verduzzo, as well as Pinot Grigio and Merlot. And his wines are an orange color. Cheers to orange. He offered an orange wine, two orange wines. The Lucy Margot Green Noir from Adelaide Hills and Pheasant's Tears Chinura from Georgia. I don't see anywhere how the orange, what they're doing. So, orange wines. Cool. Me too. Oh, well, that's it for tonight. I'm going to have to follow up on this orange wine here more. But that's it. We got ourselves a late start. But I don't know what's wrong with Skype. If you think about it, Mike, send in an inquiry or whatever you do on Skype and see what they find on that. Because it should not be, the line should not be filled up on all three lines I tried.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I would go through Blog Talk Radio. I think that's where the issue must have come from. So I'll send a thing in there and let them know.
No.
So we'll see what happens on that.
All right.
Otherwise, let's see. I guess you have it's a busy weekend this weekend.
It is a busy
weekend. I was just checking.
Yes.
Very busy. You got a wine fest on Saturday the 11th, and a wine class on Sunday the 12th. Some very big times here at Florida State's Winery, and we'll tell you about that in, I think that's a good one, a minute and a half. So we'll be right back. Hold on just a second. Hey, this is Mike. Coming up this Sunday at Florida State's Winery, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. is another wine class. That's right. Wine class at Florida State's Winery featuring winemaker, vineyardist, cellar master, and tasting expert Ron Hunt. He shares his experiences and educational knowledge of wine in a detailed 3-hour wine class. It's a lot of fun and a great way to learn something new about wine. Some of the topics that are covered include a brief history of wines, wine grape varietals, wine grape diseases, wine glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution, and uses, oak aging, wine tasting, and rating wines, and my favorite, of course, the sampling of wines and a discussion. It's a great presentation, and it's located in the Florida States Winery Tasting Room. For more information and to RSVP, which we would recommend, please contact the winery at area code 813-996-2113. Again, Florida States Winery is phone number 813-996-2113. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Don't forget wine class this Sunday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida States Winery. See you there. Yeah, one more time. Let's do, I thought that was the Wine Fest one. I can't read. We'll try this one. That was for Sunday. This Saturday, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida States Winery. Hang on.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida States Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop for vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida State Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Right. That is June 11th. That was scratchy for some reason. I don't know what that was. It was popping on my end.
I heard.
Saturday, June. Did you? Was it on your end?
Yeah.
Saturday, June 11th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come on out. Enjoy the weekend. Have a glass of wine. You can also participate in an informative, very fun wine tasting with Ron himself behind the counter there. It's a great experience. You want to do that as well. And Constantine will be providing the music entertainment sounds out there in the back outside. So check it out underneath the oak trees for a great time at the Wine Fest. There's going to be plenty of vendors out there, gift ideas, you know, the holidays, Father's Day, all that good stuff is around the corner, and you want to pick up something. So there's going to be plenty to do there, and also some good eats with Susie's Dogs, served by husband Charlie. We'll be back again with grilled hot dogs, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, all that good stuff, and veggie burgers, so and a whole lot more. So check it out. Enjoy visiting the vendors and a lot more. Shopping is always fun. It's a great chance to pick up unique gift ideas, gifts, and for friends and family. You know where I got gift ideas. Come out and enjoy the weekend at Florida States Winery. The weather is going to be, I haven't checked. But anyway,
rain
the weather's
going to
be.
Rain late afternoon, yeah. But the festival will be good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just come on out. It's a great time. So we'll see you there Saturday, June 11th, at Florida States Winery, 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. For more information, call 813-996-2113. And I guess what else do we have? That's it. Oh, there was a Twitter thing. I want to thank somebody. Who was it? Nancy Red. Liked one of our tweets. So thank you very much, Nancy, for doing that. And
very good.
I appreciate the coverage there. So thank you. I guess we will go ahead and close it out here. Let me go back to the other screen. I've got several browsers going. And we'll see you all next week. That is June the 16th at 7 p.m. or 7:05 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio.
You know, whenever I can get connected.
Between 7 and 7:10.
We'll
be on that. I should come up with a standby show. I should have something on standby in case, you know, I have to. But
yeah.
I wasn't that far. Anyway, we'll see you all next week. Thanks for tuning in, and hope you enjoyed it. And tell your friends, follow us, and everything. And go to the website, allaboutwinebtr.com, for more information, show information, all that good stuff. And we'll see you all next time. Thanks a lot. Next week. Next week.
Thank you for listening.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.